Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of You Enjoy Life. This is the podcast all about just helping you live a good life, kind of breaking outside of the box of the norm and living in joy. So I took a bit of a break from the podcast, and one thing I just want to say is that it is my word to you that I will only create podcasts when I feel inspired. There are times when I'm just a creation machine, and I'm not overthinking things, and whether it's making videos or music stuff or songs or podcasts, it just comes flowing out of me. I'm not overthinking it. There's no block. When I'm in the flow, the idea of like writer's block doesn't exist, you know? But there are other times when I don't feel inspired. And the only reason that I would ever say I had like any kind of writer or creator block is because I'm just not in the flow. So what I've come to realize is there is no real block. It's just that you're either in the flow or you're not. And when I'm in the flow, it just happens and is natural. And sometimes when I'm not feeling it, I just need to step back. So I was just in New York City, and I actually did record a podcast that I probably put out after this because I'm just feeling inspired to share this before. I was in New York City, and stepping away is always a great way to kind of remind myself of what I enjoy doing. It allows me to also to expand and to grow so I can share new things with y'all. And I'm just excited to, dive into this new thing. And I'm going to try something that I don't know if it's ever really been done before. I've certainly never done it. I've never seen it done. I have a feeling it's going to be quite amazing. And if it's not, I probably won't put it up. No, but in all seriousness, it's something I've been wanting to try, the past couple days just kind of hit me. And first, I want to give a bit of a story on tarot and kind of how I got into reading tarot. And the first thing I'll say is that a lot of people out there, I'm sure, have different experiences about tarot. So maybe to you, it's this weird, like, kind of woo-woo thing, and like that's for hippies and weirdos and whatever. Maybe you've had a tarot reading and you kind of, you're interested, but you're still on the fence. Or maybe you love reading tarot and you read it yourself, or you've had a lot of tarot readings and they've helped you greatly. Regardless of what you experience, regardless of what you've seen of tarot and all these things, I'm going to try something new, but I'm also going to try to explain why tarot has become one of the most important things in my life, and the type of tarot specifically. So I want to give you a bit of a background story onto how I sort of connected to tarot and why I went from being someone who was extremely skeptical and very much like, this is weird, I have no interest in this, to completely shifting my perspective and having since read thousands of tarot readings for hundreds of people around the world, frankly. And it's become such a great way to connect and learn more things. When I'm speaking about tarot, I'm not necessarily speaking about the mystic and magical side, although that's a powerful thing too, but just speaking to my own experience. So I'm going to give you a background, and I'm going to do a tarot reading, and it's going to be for you. And that might sound kind of odd because it's not just one person who's listening, and also I don't know who is listening out there. But I have this feeling that I'm going to do a reading, and it's going to pertain very well to your life, and it's going to give you a tremendous amount of clarity. And it's going to feel like it's specifically read for you. I just have this feeling. So first, a bit about how I kind of connected to tarot. So maybe about 8 or 9 years ago now. Wow, time is just a magical thing. I had connected with an old acquaintance, and this is someone who I went to overnight camp with when I was like from the age of 10 to 15. And she was like the super popular girl. Like, let's just put it that way. She was, very attractive, very popular, super cool. On the other hand, I was not. I was a nerd. At least for most of my life, was very uncomfortable around women, did not have any sort of quote-unquote game. I was just really, just kind of weird and struggled with girls. Let's put it this way. In the 5 years I went to camp, I was probably one of the only people in the history of that camp that didn't, kiss a girl or, obviously do whatever other things, but I didn't even kiss a girl. That's how kind of like weird and awkward and sort of maybe call it prude or whatever label I had labeled myself. But let's just say I was not very good with the ladies. So anyhow, she was super cool and I was not. So in camp, we probably never spoke. But years later, as I left camp and moved to New York City and started to kind of find myself and start to develop confidence within myself, my life obviously changed. So one day, just through a good friend of mine who was friends with her, we all had gone to camp together. We were all hanging out together. She was visiting New York City. We were all just kind of connecting and chatting. And I mentioned that I teach guitar lessons. And she's like, oh, I'd love to learn guitar. So we set this guitar lesson up. And after the guitar lesson, she's like, can I read your tarot? And I already knew she was kind of like out there. And when I say out there, I mean in a good way, like kind of just in that zone that I was just becoming familiar with, because I was just starting to study Buddhism at the time and meditation and spirituality. Before that, my whole life, it was always stuff that I deemed weird. Honestly, I didn't grow up in a family that was like open to that kind of stuff. I saw it was anything in movies, it was always kind of silly and mocked. And, I was just though at that point in my life, and I was probably, in my mid 20s, really starting to like fall into this space and experiencing some amazing things that changed my perspective about, you know, tarot and meditation and psychics and all kinds of stuff. So I was much more open, but I was still skeptical. So she's like, "Can I read your tarot?" And I was like, "Okay, sure. You know, like, I don't know how I feel about it, but, you know, you can read it." So she reads my tarot, and the first thing she does is she's like, "What's your birthday?" And I said, "Well, it's March 13th, which is coming up in a very short few days, by the way. And I'm turning 34. Very excited. Some people, as age goes older, they freak out. But to me, like, every year you're growing. And growth, we think of age as this negative thing, but to me, growth is growth, and growth is good. Moving forward is always good. So anyhow, she's like, "What's your birthday?" I said, "March 13th, 1985. And so she looks through the deck, and she finds the card that is associated with my birthday. I think there are 52 cards in the deck, and each card, you know, every birthday had, like, you know, a card associated with it. So she pulls up the card, and I believe, and I'm going to be a little bit off, but it was, like, the page of staff. And she looks at the card, she's like, "Okay, cool, like, this is good to know. This is someone who's basically setting out on a journey. And, you know, like, this is, like, the page of staff. It goes out on this, like, big quest, you know, on this journey." I was like, "All right, cool." So she gives me the cards. I shuffle through the cards. She's like, "Just shuffle. And while you shuffle, I want you to just think of, like, your intention, you know, a question, anything like that. Just think of a question you want to ask the deck." So at the time, I was actually feeling pretty, you know, more clear than normal. So I was just sort of thinking in general, like, is my life heading in the right direction? I'm shuffling this. And she's like, "Okay, now put down the first card to the left and keep it face down." So I'm going through this and going through. And I put a card face down. And it's just, "Okay, now, that's right. I fanned it out. I fanned all the cards out. And I just kind of," she's like, "just whatever calls to you. So pick one card, put it face down to the left. Pick another card, put it face down right to the right of that, and then pick a third card and put it face down to the right." And she says, "The first card represents your past. The second card represents your present. And the third card represents your future." So I'm like, "Okay, interesting. Past, present, future." I flip over the first card. It is the exact same card that is associated with my birthday. And all of a sudden it was like, it was just kind of something hit me. And she was like stunned. She was like, "Wow, that is like, that's a big sign right there." And even, right away, I'm like, I fell right into it. Because the fact that the card that I pulled for my birthday was the first card that represents my past, which just blew my mind. So right away, I'm like, "Okay, this is interesting." The past is me on, like, sort of setting out on this journey and, like, going forth kind of into the unknown. And she's like, "I'm already getting, like, a good feeling about it." She's like, "I know people based on, like, you know, their tarot reading." She's like, "I get a good feeling about you. You know, you're a good person." I was like, "Oh, that's nice." And so then we flip over to the next card. The next card is the second iteration of the first card. So it's the something of staff. It's like the prince of staff or something like that. And it's basically that same page, but now he's, like, on a horse, and he looks like a knight. And now this card represents that he's on the journey, but he's like rocking it, right? So the first card is like someone sets off to be on a journey, and now they're on the journey, and they're the warrior on the journey. And to me at the time, I felt so like, yes, this is the place I'm in right now. I'm in my life where I'm taking control of things. I'm on this wild journey where I stepped away. You know, I left what other people thought I should do. You know, I ditched my business degree and I followed my passion for music, and I'm in New York City and I'm living this passion and it's going great and it's growing and I'm expanding my mind. So that second card was like, okay, this is another major sign. So we flip over the third card, which is the future, and it's the celebration card. And it's basically just like people celebrating. And so this card in the future represents just like, you know, your future is, you did it. Like, you're on this journey, you conquer the journey, like, you win, you get to celebrate. So it was just this really simple but amazing, clean, clear reading. And she got a lot. She's like, "This is like a great reading." And I felt good about it. And then, you know, we hung out for a little bit more and we parted ways. And the next day I'm walking up my street, and on Bedford there was always these basically, like, I don't know if you've ever been to Williamsburg before. So we used to live on North 5th in Bedford, and it became like one of the, like, the very, like, the heart of the hipster movement. So when I first moved to Brooklyn, I didn't know what a hipster was, and then all of a sudden it became like this wild thing, and it changed my life in so many ways. But that was a very, like, that was like the heart of it right there between like 5th and 7th. So I'm on 5th, the subway station is on 7th Bedford, so I'd always have to walk two blocks to get to the subway. And between 6th and 7th, there was always these people that were selling books on the street. They'd have these tables, and they would sell books ranging from, you know, classics and literature to books on philosophy and anything. A lot of the greats, but also some random ones to, you know, science fiction and whatever, you name it. So I walk by and I see this book on tarot, and I'm like, oh, wow, that's really interesting. But I was going to something that day, and I didn't want to have to carry this book around. I just wanted to kind of have, you know, my hands free. So I was like, you know what, if the book is still here when I get back, I'm going to consider this a sign, and I'm going to buy it and learn more about this. So I go to my thing and I come back, and on the way back, I notice the book is gone. But I see this other thing, and it was a tarot set with a small book of instructions, and it said, it was called Zen Tarot, and something just clicked, and it was like $20, and I opened it up, and there was these beautiful cards in there, and these cards were like really, really just colorful, and they said a lot. Everyone was like a piece of art. Whereas the ones that I read in the original tarot, they were nice, but they were also more, how do you say it? They were more like harder to interpret just on their own. You sort of needed the book. Unless you knew what you were doing, you kind of needed to read the book. It didn't give that much away. But these cards were much more detailed, and there'd be things like breakthrough, you know, and control and participation, and the Fool. And the Fool is a picture of someone like dressed up in colors with flowers, you know, and he's on the side of a cliff and he's smiling, but he's also falling off this cliff, and aloneness, and the, just the cards were very just they made sense to me. And I was also super into Buddhism at the time, so just to kind of have that other element, to realize it was a Zen deck, I was able to just like connect to them very simply, and I understand a lot of the basic principles. So I took the deck and I went home and I started looking through the instructions, expecting the instructions to be like a lot of instruction. It was a small book, but I expected it to mostly be just like in-depth, detailed instructions. Now, this book, which I'm holding in my hand right now, the instructions, let me see if I can pull it up. If not, let's see, is it the beginning? So the instructions of the book were basically like one sentence. And I was completely shocked, because to me, here, let's see, introduction, I'm gonna pull it up. To me, I assumed that it would be like this very in-depth, detailed thing, but it didn't give that much at all. And what they said was like, this is basically a game, and this is a game to help you think outside of the box of yourself. So every card has a page, and in the page you can, you know, you might read things like let's see, something fighting. You know, the figure in this card is completely covered in armor. Only his glare of rage is visible, and the whites of the knuckles on his clenched fist. If you look closely at the armor, you can see it's covered with buttons, ready to detonate if anybody so much as brushes up against them. In the background, we see a shadowy movie that plays in the man's mind, two figures fighting for a castle. So it's like, it gives you like details about the card, and then it also talks about like, there's more of a, almost a meditation on it. One moment it was there, another moment it is gone. One moment we are here, and another moment we have gone. And for this simple moment, how much fuss we make, how much violent ambition, struggle, conflict, anger, hatred, violence. Just for this small moment, just waiting for the train in a waiting room on a station and creating so much fuss, fighting, hurting each other, trying to possess, trying to boss, trying to dominate, all that politics. And then the train comes and you are gone forever. So they would give you like these little details about the card, but the actual game there wasn't much on. So I looked in the back, and in the back they have these different readings that you can do. And there's lots of different readings, from the diamond to the flying bird. There's the mirror, and each reading has different, like some are simple, some are like 3-card readings, or there's like a 1-card reading. And then there's ones that might be like a 10-card reading, and they each have different like things that they can sort of unlock and help you with. So you sort of use the cards as a game to guide you through something in life that you're struggling in. And I started reading these cards, and suddenly my life was just like, it was shifting in so many ways. I was reading for myself, and it was like, this is great. Every time I did a reading, it just made so much sense and helped me get so much clarity. And I wasn't even looking at it, like I said, in this sort of magical, mystical way. It was just this game that made perfect sense to me and that could just help me get clarity on different things. And I would see it and I'd be like, yep, that's it. And then I would know what to do. So I started reading for a lot of people, and every single reading I've now, like I said, probably done over 1,000 readings in the last almost 10 years. Every single reading that I've ever done has been absolutely freaking like, my people are always like, yep. No one's ever read and been like, I don't think so. It's always like this, like, wow, that is me spot on. So what I'm going to try to do now, and granted, I do, if you are interested in getting a personal reading, just email me at youenjoylifemusic@gmail.com. I do personal readings. I can do them via the interweb and video chat and all that stuff. But I'm going to try to do a general reading for everyone. Maybe this is a reading for the entire world. This is kind of a way to look at it. Like, what does the world need right now? I'm going to see how this works. And I hope you stick around and enjoy it. Quick message from our sponsor. 30 seconds and we'll be right back. And that's all she wrote. Okay, so what I'm going to do now, and I want you to close your eyes, because honestly, the more people that do this, the better. And granted, like, you're going to be doing it in the future from now. Time is not linear. It's not linear at all. It's all connected. So we can actually all just close our eyes and just kind of close your eyes for a second. And I'm going to shuffle these cards for you. And I want you to think about something in your life, something you need clarity on. Take some deep breaths. Just be really present. Be really focused on it. Don't give it power. Don't, you know, get frustrated about it. Just really think, like, what is something you need clarity on? What's something you're struggling with? What's maybe a question that you have that if you could ask, you know, something that could see all, what would be the question that you would ask for your life? You need some guidance, right? All right. Let's see here. Okay, general question, what is the world? For me, I mean, it's going to be really for the world, so I'm going to speak to that. But anything you need clarity on? Okay, now I'm going to spread the cards out. And I'm going to pick 5 cards, and we're going to do the diamond shape. This is, to me, this is the most common reading that I do. And it starts with the card in the middle. And the card in the middle represents the overarching issue. Pick another card to the left of that, and that represents sort of like internally what's going on. To the right of that is the external. What's going on that's external? And whereas the internal you might not be aware of it, the external is something you're probably more aware of. Okay. Another card to the bottom is what is needed for the resolution. And the top is the resolution of this. So let me just put these cards away. Okay. Rest of the cards go in the deck. Now I'm in a diamond shape, and you can visualize this yourself, or you can just listen along. So I'm going to flip over the middle card. Okay. So the first card, I'm going to do my best to be detailed. I'm not going to read from the book. I've been reading long enough that I can give enough guides without reading the book. All right, so the first card is slowing down, and it is a picture, a very beautiful picture of a turtle, big tortoise, of course, slowing down. So in this picture, there's a tortoise who he's kind of like rainbow colored almost a little bit, and he's between some brush, and he's kind of walking toward, it looks like he's walking towards a beach, towards the water. So sometimes the first card doesn't give you that much detail. Slowing down is obviously a big thing, but I like to see how it relates to the other cards, because I know we could all slow down a little bit, and I can speak for myself when I say that I rush things too much and I tend to miss the moment. You have those experiences where you're so caught up in what you need to be doing that you're not actually appreciating and sitting with the moment that is right there. Because it's like, what's the next thing I need to do? I need to go to work. I need to make money. I need to get this thing. I need to clean this thing. I need to buy it. Whatever it is. We end up missing the moment, and we're so sped up. We try to get so many things done at once. So now I'm going to flip over the card to the left. And this card represents an internal thing that's going on. And typically, this is something that you might not even be actually aware of. So when it comes to the internal struggle, Just know that it's going to be in connection to this whole thing, and slowing down is kind of the guiding factor. Okay, wow. So, wow, this is, of course, I want to, it's so funny. And I will take a picture and I will post this to my Instagram. So if you want to see what these cards look like in this reading that we did, go on my Instagram and you'll be able to see that as the next thing. So, politics. Of course, I do a reading for the world. So in the political card, you have a picture of someone who is two-faced, you could say. And I think that's the obvious first piece to that. However, it is a picture of a man who has a very obviously kind of just twisted face. It's a green face, a snake, gigantic twirling snake with clouds for spots on it. Is like twisted around, like right by this man, and then the snake is holding up a mask, and that mask is a smiling, like rosy cheeked, red lipped face with kind of like really thin eyes. So it's kind of, to me, this card represents, you know, what is being shown, like the false that's being shown, and then the truth behind it. Like there's this snake that's behind it. So I think internally, I think there's a lot of struggle going on in the world because there's a lot of fear right now. There's a lot of, like, the word politics. We think of politics, we immediately think of government, but the word politics. Politics are, like, ways to sort of traditionally, either get things done, but also to manipulate. I know that there's so many people out there that they try to kind of pull their strings, and they're hiding behind this pretty face and this mask that maybe you see or maybe you don't. But behind it, it's kind of this sick, evil, twisted person, this snake, you know, this thing that is trying to manipulate you or mess with you or change you or kind of get their way. So that's sort of the internal thing that maybe we're not totally aware of. And yes, I think a lot of people are aware of politics right now. And I think that's very open. But internally, like sometimes I like to actually look at not just what's going on out there, but inside of me. Do I have a side too? Do I have a pretty face side that's trying to get my way when, you know, kind of deep down there's a part of me that's trying to manipulate, trying to get my way and figure things out in that regard. So it's really interesting though, because I feel like, let me see if I can find this for you guys. Let me see. I feel like I can find this pretty quick. Yes, okay. So I'm going to read. Sometimes I will read a card if I feel like it's really pertinent. So I'm going to read this, what's in the book. Do you recognize this man? All but the most innocent and sincere of us have a politician lurking somewhere in our minds. In fact, the mind is political. Its very nature is to plan and scheme and try to manipulate situations and people so that they can get what it wants. Here, the mind is represented by the snake, covered with clouds and speaking with a forked tongue. But the important thing to realize about this card is that both faces are false. The sweet, innocent, trust me face is a mask, and the evil, toxic. I'll have my way with you face is a mask too. Politicians don't have real faces. The whole game is a lie. Take a good look at yourself to see if you have been playing this game. What you see might be painful, but not as painful as continuing to play. It doesn't serve anybody's interest in the end, least of all yours. Whatever you might achieve in this way will just turn to dust in your hands. Okay, so the sort of meditation side. Wow, that was good. Anybody who can be a good pretender, a hypocrite, will become your leader politically, will become your priest religiously. All that he needs is hypocrisy. All that he needs is cunningness. All that he needs is a facade to hide behind. Your politicians live double lives. Your priests live double lives. One from the front door, the other from the back door. And the backdoor life is the real life. Those front door smiles are just false. Those faces looking so innocent are just cultivated. If you want to see the reality of the politician, you will have to see him from his back door. There he is in his nudity, as he is, and so is the priest. These kinds of cunning people have dominated humanity, and they have found out very early on that if they want to dominate humanity, make it weak, make it feel guilty, make it feel unworthy. Destroy its dignity, take all glory away from it, humiliate it. And they have found such subtle ways of humiliation that they don't come in the picture at all. They leave it to you to humiliate yourself, to destroy yourself. They have taught you a kind of slow suicide. Wow. I haven't read that one in a long time. This is such an intense card. And I just want to say, I think that politically there's so much going on. And I'm feeling like I need to start talking about it because I want to address the sort of elephant in the room. But I'm really grateful that this came out. Okay, so I'm going to go on to the next external card. And you know, once we get all the cards over, we're going to get much more clarity. We're just started taking this little journey together. Wow. Okay, so externally. So this is now the source. Okay, wow. The source is another really, really powerful card. And I'm debating on if I want to read something or not. You know, I'm not going to go for it. I'm like, if it popped up very quickly and it would be a magical thing, then I would read it, but no. Okay, so the source, and let's just talk about this card for a second. So it almost looks like a giant eye fireball thing. So on the inside, it's just beautiful. There's a white, yellow, orange, just red circle. And then as it goes out, you just get layers and layers and layers. There's actually not that much to this card. There's some detail, but it's a much more simple card. And to me, the source is kind of everything. The world, like where does life come from? You know, we think of like the sun brings life, but like where does life really come from? It comes from this source that is deep within. It's almost like a well of magic that just powers everything in life. You know, what you look in the quantum world or whatever it is, like the source of all life is where all power is held. So right now we have, just to kind of give you a little bit of a backing, so slowing down is the start of this journey. You know, this turtle who's kind of slowing down. Internally, there's this sort of political struggle that's going on, whether it's, you know, maybe you're seeing it outside, but there's something inside of you. You're feeling kind of split almost in between two worlds. You're seeing a lot that's going on. It's making you horrified or sick or confused or sad or alone. But you also kind of, a piece of you feels like too close to it. So then externally though, there's this gigantic, powerful source that's going on. And I think I need to go to the next card because I'm not even seeing it that clearly just yet. Wow, okay. So the next card are these two very big, almost not quite like monstrous, but they're like green and they kind of look like these samurais who, it's not necessarily a happy card, I'll put it that way. They're kind of like, they look like a little bit evil. And so it's these two sort of samurais with knives coming out, and they're wearing these gigantic robes, and they're side by side, and they look like they could be twins, but they're slightly different. And they're connected, just they're touching on their arms, but just their pinkies are touching each other. And the song is, and this, well, this song, this is called A Compromise. And compromise is a really fascinating thing because, I did a podcast a while ago about the idea of being in relationships and that they're 100-100 and not 50-50. If you remember that podcast, if you haven't heard it, you can scroll back and check it out. But it's just general idea that when we think of a compromise, we think of it's like, well, okay, we're going to meet in the middle. But oftentimes it can be a struggle because it means you're giving something up. And I think that in relationships and in life, people really struggle to compromise because at the end of the day, they want what they want. And if they don't get it, they might say they're going to compromise, but we end up feeling like we lost something, we missed something. And I think right now we see it politically. I'm going to go back to the political card. We see it very politically because the world is, it's so divided, you know, but it's divided on an individual level. It's not just like the left and the right. And we like to make it simple, oh, the left and the right side, but everyone's still an individual. You know, we all have our individualistic thoughts and ideas and concepts, and some people are more individualistic than other people. And I think, you know, naturally, as humans and as animals, we want to be connected to something, and it feels good to be part of something. But the world struggles because there's always going to be compromise involved. And when people believe that they're right, they don't necessarily want compromise. They want their way, you know, and even the other way is threatening. But I think with all the stuff going on in politics right now, it's such a big struggle because people don't really know which way to go. Do you know what I mean? Like they know that, okay, I relate to this side a bit more. I relate to this side a bit more. But I think deep down, we all just have our struggles. We all think about what matters the most to us, and we want to have the things that we want. And coming to a compromise can be a very challenging thing, to really, truly compromise. If you're in a good relationship with someone, it's like easy to compromise. But I'm talking about like on the world as a whole. Like, are there things you're really willing to give up? Are there things you're really willing to compromise on to live the life that you want to live? And that's something that you need to look at. So that was the card that is what is needed to give resolution. So let's go to what is the resolution. Wow. I'm like, of course, where's my camera? This card could not have been more perfectly placed. So the final card, which is the resolution, is maturity. And this is a very, very beautiful card. What I find amazing is this last spot. Like, it could be like we could have had politics in the last spot, but it always seems to work out that last card is exactly what it needs to be. And it's usually something very profound and beautiful. So maturity card. And ironically, a lot of the symbols today, three of the cards are the rainbow symbol, which to me represents a lot of change and a lot of flow. So this card is this beautiful woman who is basically made up of flowers. Her whole body, there's a faint outline of a body, and she looks like she's almost like glass, but she's made up of these beautiful flowers. And there's this symbolic 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe a hexagon, is that what you call it? Around her with this circle, and there's the circle, it's the snake eating his tail. But now we have the snake, unlike the other snake, this is represented much more beautiful. It's this rainbow snake. Wow, that's really interesting. This is really, so if you look at the cards, it's in a diamond shape. So there's a card in the middle, left, right, and top, bottom. And the, you know, from top, middle, down, they're all rainbow cards. So I think that's really cool. That shows a good flow right there. So the maturity card. This one may be a little more simple to explain, but... Or I shouldn't even say that. I think that the maturity card, it can only come when we grow up. So when I look back at this reading, you know, the first thing is slowing down. Which leads into kind of internally, like there's this political struggle going on. And then the external is that the source. And to me, I'm still kind of deciphering what that means. But what I'm kind of gathering here is the external source to everything. And maybe I should even, you know, I'm going to read the source. I think it's a good idea to read the card because, okay, that's why I couldn't find it. The source. So it's the queen. So the source, where are you, good sir? Fire, the source. Okay, 98. I'm going to read this card, and then this is going to make a lot more sense. I haven't used this book in a while. Okay, here we go. When we speak of being grounded or centered, it is this source we are talking about. When we begin a creative project, it is this source that we tune into. This card reminds us there's this vast reservoir of energy available to us, and that we tap into it not by thinking and planning, but by getting grounded, centered and silent enough to be in contact with the source. And I gotta take that in for a second. Yeah, it's beautiful. Okay. It is within each of us, like a personal individual sun giving us life and nourishment, pure energy, pulsating, available. It is ready to give us anything we need to accomplish, something, and ready to welcome us back home when we want to rest. So whether you're beginning something new and need inspiration right now, or you've just finished something and want to rest, go to the source. It's always waiting for you, and you don't even have to step out of your house to find it. The source is there, people. Okay, I'm going to read the other side. Zen asks you to come out of the head and go to the basic source. It is not that Zen is not aware of the uses of energy in the head, but if all the energy is used in the head, you will never become aware of your eternity. You will never know as an experience what it is to be one with the whole. When the energy is just at the center, pulsating, when it is not moving anywhere, neither in the head nor in the heart, but it is at the very source from where the heart takes it, the head takes it, pulsating at the very source. That is the very meaning of Zazen. Zazen means just sitting at the very source, not moving anywhere. A tremendous force arises, a transformation of energy into light and love, into greater life, into compassion, into creativity. It can take many forms, but first you have to learn how to be at the source. Then the source will decide where your potential is. You can relax at the source, and it will take you to your very potential. Okay, so the source of everything. So I think that because we have this political struggle internally, we're missing out on the source of everything. The external is the source that we're connected to. There's this powerful, profound source that connects us to the whole of everything. So we start off where we're slowing down You know, remember, it's important to slow down to feel, which connects to the source. And when we slow down, we can see what's going on inside it. There's this sort of political struggle, and we don't know what to do with that. But externally, like, there's something amazing happening, you know? And I know it can be very hard to experience the awesomeness when things seem chaotic and scary. And it's also wintertime, so a lot of people, like, I know I'm stuck inside, and it's like, where is life, you know? But the source exists. It's all knowing. It's above politics. Is above politics. It's beyond everything. I should probably drink some water. I'm like, I'm messing up words because my mouth is dry. It's beyond politics. The source is beyond everything. So then we go down to sort of the resolution, or what is needed for the resolution, and we see compromise. And compromise is a pretty, pretty obvious thing to me, because we need to compromise not just with other people, with ourselves. And what I mean is, like, there are things that we might want, but then there are things that we need. And sometimes our want for something outweighs what we actually need. So we can actually step outside of ourselves and see what we need as a whole, the world. And I don't mean, like, oh, I need money, or I need, you know, food or whatever. But what are the things that we really need as a whole, as humanity? How can we come to a bit more of a compromise? Not just blame other people. And this is where the political thing is rough, because there is a lot of darkness out there. But the way we give up our power is by we point fingers and we blame. And we, instead of putting, you know, the power back into ourselves, we assume that other people are in control of us. And we make ourselves the slave because we give other people power. No matter how powerful they might seem to be on a sort of governmental or, you know, political or whatever level, the source is so far beyond that. And when you're tapped into that, you realize that none of that stuff really means anything. It's easy to get wrapped up into it. Sometimes I even do. Sometimes I get wrapped up into this normal world stuff, and I think that that's what's actually guiding the world. But there's something so much bigger that's actually guiding the world. And when we can actually compromise, you know, what we feel like we need, and actually figure out what we truly need, we come to that compromise within ourselves. We can actually strike some sort of balance. And you have to give something up. And I think the compromise is giving up the blame. Which leads us to the resolution, which is maturity. If we can mature in this way, if we can grow in this way, collectively, together, individually, amazing things are going to happen. And that's also how we get more connected to the source. And it starts with slowing down and pulling the mask off, you know, and realizing that you're responsible for yourself. It's easy, easy, easy. I say this all the time. It's easy to blame other people, but it's a cop-out. Pointing fingers at other things, making assumptions about other people's lives when you don't know them, it doesn't help. I don't care how bad someone is or something is. It doesn't mean you condone it. It never means that you condone it or you support it. But inside there, there's a little boy, there's a little girl, there's someone who's hurt and trying to fit in, and there's so much living in fear. So the first thing you can do is have compassion, and that takes having a bit of a compromise, you know, with yourself. Sometimes you got to compromise with yourself, because there's a piece of you that's keeping you in this fear. There's a piece of you that's giving lots of anger. Making a compromise with yourself might relieve some of that anger. And that's actually how you have maturity, because this woman in this picture, she's very chill. She's just like eyes closed, at one with nature. She's made up of flowers, and she's just flowing in this beautiful state. So if you can get to maturity, you can actually get to a good state where you can actually make good choices and be more tapped into the source. This has been a lot of fun. I do sincerely hope that you enjoyed it. If you want to write in, tell me. Of course, there are no comments, which is one thing about podcasting that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it changed one day, but I'm going to take a picture of this, and you can look at it. You can screenshot it and sort of zoom in, do your thing. But if you are interested in having your own reading, by all means, let me know. youenjoylifemusic@gmail.com. I will put the link below. It's really fun to do this together with everybody, but having the solo readings is just great. And I'm also, like, I won't just do the reading. I'm also going to help guide you with something big in your life. And the Skype call would be anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour. Not Skype, but, you know, video chat. It'd be really fun. Regardless, I hope this has helped someone out there and maybe make this feel a little more connected, because, you know, even though it's like I'm speaking to a large group, I always act as though I'm speaking to one person, because I think that when we're all getting closer and tapped into this similar frequency, we realize how much closer we are. You know, the more people that are opening, expanding their minds, opening up to what is possible, the more I realize that we all are kind of the same. You know, we're just trying to figure it out and do the best that we can. And we can be that beacon of light for someone else. We can be that person who brings more hate in the world and brings more judgment, and we can judge the judgers, or we can actually be that beacon of hope and look at someone and create something amazing and fantastic and new. So thank you so much. This has been You Enjoy Life, and my name is Joshua. Talk to you soon.